This morning, we've already read most of the scripture that I want to use, but I will repeat from the NIV a portion from Exodus chapter 20, a paragraph dealing with the fourth commandment, and from Isaiah chapter 58, the last two verses of that chapter. From Exodus chapter 20, beginning with verse 8, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your manservant or maidservant, nor your animals, nor the alien within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth and the sea, and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. And then from Isaiah chapter 58, verse 13. If you keep your feet from breaking the Sabbath and from doing as you please on my holy day, if you call the Sabbath a delight, and the Lord's holy day honorable, and if you honor it by not going your own way and not doing as you please or speaking idle words, then you will find your joy in the Lord. And I will cause you to ride on the heights of the land and to feast on the inheritance of your father Jacob. The mouth of the Lord hath spoken. Father, we thank you for the sense of your presence in this service this morning. We do want to truly worship. We want to respond to your love. We pray now that you will speak to us by your holy word. Touch our lips to speak, we pray, and our ears to hear. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm aware of the fact that this sermon this morning has the potential of getting everybody 100% angry, because some are going to say, he sounds like a liberal to me. He's not preaching the kind of rules that I believe. And others are going to say, he sounds old-fashioned to me. What's he talking about? Are we going back into the Old Testament and keep an old-fashioned Sabbath? Really, I'm speaking out of a deep and abiding conviction in my own heart this morning. This is a truth that I have been exploring for myself, for I believe that the observance of the fourth commandment may well be a key to a genuine spiritual awakening in our community, in our nation, in the world. And I'm also convinced, I have the abiding conviction, that a proper observance of the fourth commandment might well be the deciding factor in individual lives of salvaging family relationships, of whether or not a man and wife actually break up, of whether or not a person keeps his faith in God intact. For as Jesus said, the Sabbath was made for man. There's a purpose in it. And I'm exploring in my own heart what it means to keep the Sabbath as God would have me keep it. I'm sure that the way I keep my own personal Sabbath is a legalistic way to most of you. And I'm not asking you to accept my personal convictions in detail. That's not it at all. But I'm asking you this morning to explore with me what the Bible says about the fourth commandment. For I believe that how you keep or how you desecrate the Lord's day will have a profound effect on every other area of your life. So let's just look at it together this morning, and then you make your own conclusions. It's obvious from the whole tenor of the Bible that the Sabbath is a perpetual and universal principle. The Sabbath day was incorporated into the very warp and woof of our universe, and it's mentioned first in the creation story. And in the second chapter of Genesis, the second and third verses, we read how that on the seventh day, God had made the earth in 6 days. And on the seventh day, he rested, and it says that he blessed the seventh day and sanctified it in the King James Version, or set it apart, made it something special. And so, long before there were Jewish laws, long before there were even the moral codes, there was the Sabbath day. And then when the moral codes came along and when the Ten Commandments were given to us, the keeping of a day in seven, the keeping of a Sabbath day was included in the Ten Commandments. It is a part of the very moral makeup of our being, meets a basic need of our hearts. And as such, as one of the Ten Commandments, it had two sides. And we won't read it for a third time. But in the giving of the fourth commandment, there was the idea of a cessation from the labor of the other 6 days. I didn't really plan to speak about the Sabbath day on the Labor Day weekend, but it's particularly fitting. And I remember Prof. Naylor giving a chapel talk, and I won't say how many decades ago. And I remember very well as he talked about Sabbath observance, and the first point he made was that the fourth commandment says, 6 days shalt thou labor. And labor is good for us. And yet there needs to be a break. And so one part of that fourth commandment is a cessation from labor which benefits man and beast. And even in godless communist countries, they found they get more out of people if they give them a day off and have a complete break than if they work them 7 days a week. But the other side of that fourth commandment is that in that cessation of labor, there is an honoring or a recognition of God as the source of life, as the source of health. And so it was incorporated into the very basic Ten Commandments and is a part of a perpetual and a universal principle. But the principle of Sabbath rest has often degenerated into great controversy. Man's always had trouble with this commandment. And we come from principle to law to rule to squabble. And I can just imagine many of you are anticipating, what's he going to say about, you know, seventh versus first? And what's he going to say about, you know, does he take a Sunday paper? All these little dots and crosses. Which day really shall we observe? God's seventh day was man's first day. And I tell you, when you get into reading about the keeping of the Sabbath day, it's very interesting how whichever position is presented, the Bible just leads right directly to that conclusion. But really, is this the real issue? I'm sure they didn't call it Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and so forth. Adam and Eve didn't. I don't think they did. No, they didn't. And then we squabble about how shall we observe the Lord's Day. Perhaps it would be easy if we could get a great big long sheet of paper. I don't think we'd get one quite long enough and have all the rules. You can do this, you can't do that. You can have ice cream in a dish, but you can't have it in a cone. When I was growing up, I couldn't even take a picture with a Brownie camera. I'm not quite sure why. But it involved labor of some kind. I'm not sure whether that was the labor or what. The Jews multiplied rules. They took this principle of the Sabbath that was made for man, and they began to say, well, you can't do work on Sunday, and therefore this is work and this is not work. You can't leave your own property beyond, say, a quarter of a mile. because that would be a journey. You can't light a fire. You can't do this and that. And yet it became such a legalistic sort of thing that if a man wanted to get from A to B, if he had one of his servants go along and toss out some things that belonged to him but he didn't want anymore, like maybe an old shoe or something, every quarter of a mile or so, then you see he had property all along the way, and he wasn't leaving his property so he could make the same journey that he couldn't make. Really? I'm not making it up. It became such a legalistic thing that Jesus, in his own way, just ignored a good deal of it. Going through the fields on the Lord's day, his disciples were hungry and just rubbed out some grain and ate it to stave off the hunger. That was threshing, by the way. They weren't allowed to thresh on Sunday. He healed a man and said, roll up your mat. Don't leave it there, for heaven's sakes. It's worth something. Put it on your shoulder. Take it home. They said, it was terrible. He told him to carry that thing on the Lord's day. But while the Jews multiplied rules, as I've already mentioned, many of us conservative Christians multiplied rules too, and our rules became harsh and arbitrary and legalistic in this same manner. And yet what I'm concerned about, there was a reaction, there has been a reaction to legalism that's caused many to disregard all idea and all of keeping a Sabbath. And they said those crazy legalistic rules are nothing. And therefore, they've just thrown out all idea that the Sabbath day should be kept holy in any particular way. And in effect, in a practical manner, we have lost the Lord's day. And in losing the Lord's day, we've lost a key to spiritual health and to revival. And it's my abiding conviction this morning that we need a rebirth of honor to all the Ten Commandments. We need to sit down and say, what does it mean, thou shalt have no other gods before me? What does it mean, thou shalt not make graven images and fall down and worship them? Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. We need especially to think about those first four commandments. Of course, this morning, my concern is that we take a hard look at the fourth commandment as a key to revival. And there are principles of Sabbath observance that come to us from the Scripture which still very much apply. We need to see that the Sabbath must be a cessation from normal labor, permitting time for spiritual things. And I may sound a little bit legalistic and harsh, but I want to say to you this morning that if we habitually disregard the 6-to-1 ratio of work to rest, we are committing sin against God, against our bodies, and against our families. I know that the scripture we read this morning spoke about if a sheep falls into a pit, or the other scripture mentions if an ox falls into the ditch. Certainly, nothing wrong with either hauling it out or calling a tow truck. But if that ox is falling in the ditch every Lord's day, it's time you either fill in the ditch or sell the ox. If you need that seventh day to make ends meet, then maybe you better pull in the ends a little bit. You only go this way once. Those relationships are more important than that seventh day of work. As we said, the Ten Commandments had two sides to it, and one was the cessation from labor, which benefits man and beast. And the other side is that when we do cease from laboring on that seventh day, we need to see that that time which is taken is spent in quality worship, in doing spiritual things. The Sabbath should make time for quality corporate worship. That's what we were talking about last Sunday morning. That worship becomes a key which touches every other spiritual thing we do. and if we properly observe the fourth commandment, then our coming together as a body in celebration will become the high point of the week and become the touchstone of everything we do. Our spiritual health will be transformed. Taking time for the Sabbath should give us time to study God's Word and to meditate thereon. I suppose God can forgive us if we grab a breakfast and run and get our devotions the same way 6 days a week. It's important that we do it. You know, get out John Henry Jowett and read what he has to say and run through the scriptures and get down and say, Lord, you're Lord of my life, and I got to be there and go. But at least once a week, we need to have a feast, a banquet. That's why I believe in Sunday school. That's why I also believe in time to think about what the lesson was about. And then last but not least, taking time for spiritual things on the Lord's Day should make time for God-ordained fellowship with family. You can spell that family with a small F or a large F. We have a family here. We belong to God. We're His children. But I'm thinking also in terms of those people that live under the same roof that you do. And one thing that keeping the fourth commandment will do will help us to get acquainted with those people that we see every day. Not just looking at the principles, but Isaiah gives us a handle on applying these principles. You say, oh, that's Old Testament truth. That's Old Testament. I make no apology for preaching in 1980 out of the Old Testament. And Isaiah tells us that the mouth of the Lord said, if you will keep your feet from breaking the Sabbath and from doing as you please on my holy day. One of the ways that we can apply keeping the fourth commandment is to seek to do God's pleasure on God's day. Actually, we belong to God, and we should seek to do His pleasure 7 days a week. But the seventh day is an earnest, it's a special day. It's a day where we especially seek out His mind and His will and say, Lord, how am I lining up with the master plan? How am I doing? And He'll say, you're doing fine here. I'll give you a C on that, and I'm going to have to give you a D minus on that. That's what Sunday's for. Stop doing as we please on my holy day, on His holy day. And then He says, if you call the Lord's holy day honorable, if you call the Sabbath a delight, if we begin to apply the fourth commandment, it won't be long until we begin to get acquainted with God. And worship won't be just another day of holy obligation. Oh, I'll get the Mass over with so I can get out on the golf course. But rather, worship will become a delight. And that's what God says. If you get to the place where you're meeting with God, where you're worship with Him, where your private devotions are a time of delight, then He says, soul health begins to flow. You'll find your joy in the Lord. That's where I want to live. That's where I want you to live. Well, how do I bring this to a close? How do I tie this all together? The Sabbath day must be a day that is blessed and set apart, as God did that first Sabbath day. As we deliberately set out to honor God and keep His spiritual laws, we shall find great soul health and we'll be delighted in the Lord. And I suggest that a way for me to quit this sermon, end this sermon this morning, is to ask you if you would make a personal pledge to God. The last thing in your bulletin, if you can find one, is a pledge that any Christian ought to be happy to make. I'm not going to ask you to read it aloud, It just kind of goes against my grain to ever put anybody on the spot for anything. I wish I was a little better at it. I'd get some more money for upstairs. But this is something that's intensely personal and private and intensely important. And I'm going to read it aloud. And I wonder if you've got the courage to make this pledge to God. I pledge to keep the Lord's day as holy unto Him. I will seek God's will on how I shall honor Him on His day. As the Holy Spirit guides me, I will keep a Christian Sabbath by avoiding unnecessary labor and by devoting time to rest and to fellowship with God and His people. Shall we pray? Father, teach us how to honor You by keeping those laws which make for our spiritual life and health. Help us especially as we endeavor to do Your whole will in regards to the fourth commandment. In Jesus' name, amen.